Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Maglia. Tom's a chartered financial consultant, accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. With over 27 years of financial counseling and coaching experience, Tom is also a Crown Ministries budget coach and is a business and church consultant as well. We'd love to hear from you. For appointments with this financial planner with a heart for God, call 800-386-3700. And you can also email your comments on the website, theeconomyofgod.com. Pick up some other resources. We're going to get started right now. Tom Maglia. Tom, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Happy birthday yesterday to you.
Oh, well, thank you. You're very kind.
Yes. And also, Reba, I want to say something. We have a newsletter. If someone would like to sign up for the free newsletter, go to the website, theeconomyofgod.com, and they can not only email me questions if they have financial questions during the week, they can sign up for the free newsletter.
Oh, yeah, you've got to get that resource in your hands. That's going to start changing your heart.
Absolutely.
Immediately, and that's where the issues flow from.
Absolutely. The newsletter comes out quarterly, so sign up for the free newsletter on the website and email me any financial questions you have, and I'll answer them. Again, theeconomyofgod.com. So, Reba, today's program, again, second part of the series that we're talking about greed and the futility of wealth. That's the name of this series that we're currently in. And by the way, it's all in the new book. So the new book, Reba.
The new book is wonderful. I've got my copy right here. I'm reading through it, and it's one of those books where you wish you had more time to just reread and reread, because you get so much out of each section.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's hot off the press. You can pick up your copy at theeconomyofgod.com. Now, I am so excited, Tom, to get into the series again, Greed and the Futility of Wealth.
Me too. I really am excited about it. And before we start that, Reba, I have a test for you.
What's your test?
Well, it's a test that I flunked.
Okay.
You know that memory verse we talked
about?
Yes,
2 Timothy
3:16 and 17.
Uh-huh.
Today, I'm not going to put it out there for us to read. Memorized it.
You memorized it.
Well, kind of. But
let's hear it.
Well, no. It's for you to tell us.
For me to tell you? Okay.
Remember 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17?
2 Timothy 3:16.
We start off every program
with
this.
We do.
I thought today, what if we just recited it by memory?
What if I surprised Reba this morning? Okay, here we go. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, and rebuking, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is that close?
It's very close. The only part is rebuking, correcting, and training.
And training in righteousness.
In righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. That's great.
Thanks.
How'd you do that?
I guess it's there. I use the words as a crutch. You know, when I have the scripture in my hand, I just read it.
I know.
But it's in there.
Well, tonight when you get home, I would like you at dinner to tell your daughter, okay, Daisy, here is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We're going to have this practice scripture every time we have dinner. And then you recite it to her and see if she can memorize it. And then maybe in a week or two, she can recite it to you.
She does that very well. She memorizes scripture very well. She'll do a lot better than I have.
2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I thought I'd pop that on you today.
You did. That's a pop quiz.
I know. Pop quiz. I tried it myself and I flunked. So you did really well.
Thanks.
So let's see if we can get our kids to recite that at dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, and to talk to our kids about things like greed and wealth, because they're hearing about it constantly.
Well, Proverbs 22:6 says, teach a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
They will not depart from it. So we need to teach our kids. So I think I'm going to teach my two kids, Reba, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 at dinner every single night. And then in a week or two, I'll say, okay, unlike Dad, can you recite it by memory and see if they can pull it off?
Yeah.
And I just love that verse. Thank you for doing that and being a good sport. I thought I'd mess with you this morning, but, you know, it's a great scripture.
It is.
How about starting us off?
Yeah, we're jumping into this, back into this, this particular subject, greed and the futility of wealth. And we have a particular scripture that's the topic for this.
Right.
Proverbs 11:4.
Yes.
Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death.
Yes. And that righteousness, Reba, is Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you will be delivered on the day of wrath. the day of judgment. There will, in fact, there will be no wrath for the Christian because of what Christ did for us and our receiving and accepting that gift from the Lord. So righteousness, being in Christ, being saved, delivers us from death. But riches don't profit. They won't matter. They won't help someone in the day of judgment. Riches make no difference. They will not help someone become saved and enter the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. So we have some support scriptures today, Reba. So I'll read one and then you read one.
Okay.
And we'll just kind of bounce off that because the word of God is the key, not Tom, not any financial expert or advisor. The word of God, the Bible. That's what the book, Knowing the Economy of God, is based on, and this program. Otherwise, it would be on some financial advisor's thoughts and opinions, and that's not what this is about. So Proverbs 18:11, Reba, I'll read that one. That supports the heading of this subject, Greed and the Futility of Wealth, and the series that you just mentioned, Proverbs 11:4. So Proverbs 18:11, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. And like a high wall, his own imagination. In his mind, Reba, he thinks his money and wealth can protect him, deliver him, be his security. He thinks, the man that doesn't have Christ, he thinks all of this wealth in his imagination. Proverbs 18:11. It's his strong city. Wrong. It's a high wall. Wrong. It'll deliver me and save me. Wrong. It's his imagination that makes that up, that thinks all of that wealth will do such a thing. Very wrong.
Yeah, you know, I know that we have a lot of people listening that have financial consultants or advisors or have different things they're doing with their businesses or their assets, and they've completely left God out of the equation.
Oh, exactly.
And that is it, that is the wrong move, because even as a Christian, what you're doing is you're saying, this wealth is my strong city, apart and separated from God.
Exactly. And that's not reality. And that's why it won't help at the day of judgment. There'll be wrath. Okay, Reba, how about this?
Yep. Go ahead.
Proverbs 11:28.
11:28. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf.
I like that.
I do too.
The righteous will flourish. And he who trusts in his riches will fall.
He who trusts. It doesn't say only the wicked who trusts in his riches.
Right.
Because a lot of us are believers, but
right.
we've just negated to bring God into that specific part of our life. And it says you will fall if you do that.
Exactly. So don't do it. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 6:7. All a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not satisfied.
Oh, wow.
Matthew 18:26, Reba, your turn.
What will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or will a man give in exchange for his soul?
Right. And that's what Jesus said. Not some financial expert, not a financial planner. Forget all that. This is the Lord talking. So how can we say and hear what the Lord says and ignore it? I can see a financial expert, but not the Lord.
Right.
How can you deny what he said?
This isn't a theory or an opinion. This is what God is telling his people.
Exactly. Now, Matthew 19:23. Go ahead, Reba.
Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right. It's not that a rich man can't enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's difficult because normally the rich man trusts in his riches, his own ego that created his riches. I did it. It's mine. Look at me. Aren't I great? That kind of talk and feeling and thinking, defining who a person is.
And, you know, usually you can tell. You can tell when there's something pulling on your soul, pulling on your spirit life.
Yep.
When something comes in, be it new assets or business.
Right.
You can tell when it's starting to drain your spiritual life, and you've got to get that back in order.
Exactly. Now, this is Jesus saying these things. So you can deny what a consultant or a coach or a neighbor or a relative or a friend says. You cannot deny what Jesus Christ says.
That's right.
You cannot. Luke 10:14, the Pharisees who were lovers of money were listening to all these things and they were scoffing at him. They did not like what Jesus was saying, Reba. They were mad. They were angry because he had them right in a corner. He was talking to them. Look, if you trust in your riches, guess what? you're making a huge mistake.
And this is a really, this can be like a sword. It can hurt. It can bring conviction if you've sided with the side of the scoffers.
Right.
But it can also bring comfort. Because if you know in your heart, if the Holy Spirit inside you bears witness with what Jesus is saying, and people or the world is scoffing at you, then you know that this scripture is true.
Exactly. And what we can do, Reba, is confess that as sin. If mm-hmm. we are falling into that trap, repent of it, and God is faithful through his grace to forgive us so that we can get chiropractic adjustment spiritually and move forward. Okay, so we're coming up to a break.
Yes, we'll be right back. We're going to continue. We've kind of set the ball up here. We're going to spike it right over the net when we come back. We'd love to hear from you. You can email your comments to economyofgod.com. Also, sign up for a free newsletter when you're online. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God. We'd love to hear from you. You can email your comments at theeconomyofgod.com. Our host, Tom Meglia. Tom, we have set this up. We are talking about greed and the futility of wealth. We went over some scriptures. Now we get to my favorite part. We've got the principles in the application story time. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. I will list a few of the economic principles that we discuss from the scripture, then the application and the story. So first of all, Reba, the economic principles, only through the Lord is there righteousness and salvation, not the Lord Jesus Christ and anything else, just in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, being rich will not matter on Judgment Day. It's not like extra credit or points you scored or while you were on earth, something mm-hmm. like that. It's not going to help. The word want, with no limitation or boundary, leads to greed, covetousness, and lavishness. Those are all sins.
I love that.
Assets aren't sins in and of themselves. Having something isn't a sin, having an asset. But it could be a threat to our walk with Christ if we trust in it or feel like, aren't we great because we have money and someone else doesn't. Money doesn't solve the problems of our self-esteem and personal worth and security. It can't. It wasn't made or created to solve our self-esteem issues. Mm-hmm. So it can't do what it can't do. Mm-hmm. That's like a strawberry cannot taste like a pineapple. It's impossible. It wasn't created for that. Next. No one can take anything with them when they die. There are no U-Haul trucks at a funeral service, Reba. Okay? No U-Hauls. Mm-hmm. You can't take it with you. Impossible to take it with you. So these are some of the economic principles that back up last week's program, today's program, and now we'll roll into application and the story. Now, application, Reba, we must check our standard of living. We must think, are we content in our standard of living and the way we live?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not, it could lead to pursuits that stray from godly living. So if we're like, oh, I'm not happy, I've got to have this and this and that, then I'll be happy. There goes the pursuit. Now we have the pursuit going. When you're pursuing something, oftentimes, why are you doing it? What's the reason? What's the root cause of wanting to pursue something? Is it godly, or is that pursuit leading us away from God? Very interesting, because Satan wants to bring us away from God.
Mm-hmm.
So those pursuits could lead to ungodly living and discontentment. So we need to do a homework inventory check in our heart through prayer about our pursuits. Like David said in the Psalms, check my heart, O God.
Our pursuits, where our money is concerned.
Right.
Because a lot of us, we check ourselves in different areas of our life, in our, you know, our love life. Am I pursuing a whole relationship with my loved ones in our spiritual life? But you're talking about in the area of our finances.
Yes, and positions in life. I'm a president. Aren't I great?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We got to be careful with that.
I think pastors are more prone to do this because there's more scrutiny around them.
Oh, absolutely.
A bigger boat for a pastor, people are looking, you know, why does he need a bigger boat?
Oh.
You know, and so he's constantly got to be mindful of his motives where his money's concerned. But a lot of other people think that they're excluded from that.
Exactly. And the enemy wants us to drift away, to pursue wealth for wealth's sake and hoard money to the sake of the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having assets, Reba, of course, it's not a sin to have an asset. But is it a false god? Do they define you as having arrived or not?
Mm.
Being a success or not?
Mm-hmm.
The ego, the self-esteem. We need to really do a gut check. Like David said, search my heart, O God, and see if there is any error in my heart.
I think people are afraid to do that because they think that they're going to have to have less. They're going to have to give things away.
That's right. And that's what's sad. You don't have to do that. You just want to be a good steward and use all of those things for God's glory.
Okay.
Not our ego. I arrived. Aren't I great?
I mean, do you have to give away your plasma screen TV if you do a gut check?
Not at all. But we also need to say, Lord, why am I doing this?
Uh-huh.
Why am I pursuing these pursuits?
Uh-huh.
You know, what are my end goals to all of this? Is it to be a good steward for you or to show everybody how great I am?
And am I going into debt with that plasma screen?
Yeah.
Or
that's right.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be carnal, Reba. We need to not be carnal Christians. We need to be stewardship-type Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to do. Now, I'm ready for this, Reba, story.
Let's get into the story.
You ready for the
story? You told me you're going to tell me a story, and now I want to hear the story.
Okay. I've been working with a couple for a long, long time, referred to me by Crown about 12 years ago. We're going to call them David and Natalie. That's not their real names. But here's what happened. This part of the program, Reba, could be titled Relationship Destruction, or How to Ruin a Family in 3 Easy Steps.
Oh.
Okay? This guy pursued money and wealth big time. Money and wealth. The reason he did it was because in his background growing up, his dad and brothers were hot shots. Doctors, big financial businessmen, this kind of thing. And they were teaching him. He was the youngest boy of the family. And his dad was trying terribly hard to say, you know, to make it in life, to win approval and become a real man, you've got to be wealthy and successful. If you want my approval and you want to become a real man, this is how you have to do it. His dad wasn't a Christian, but this fella remembers his dad's quotes and his words to this day as he was being brought up, growing up. And he felt like, well, to be loved and accepted by his dad, I better achieve something important in society's view, in my dad's view, to show my brothers, here's my money, my job position, my title. Okay, this is what's going to make me a real man and be approved and loved by my dad. That's what happened to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? The problem with that is you're basing your value on society's definition of achievement and accomplishment. That in turn, Reba, led to him not being around his wife and kids. How come? Because he was working 15-hour days.
Sure.
He was eating, sleeping, and drinking and everything. His job life to accomplish something, to make something, to achieve something.
And he already had the approval of his wife and his kids.
Well, and more importantly, Jesus Christ.
And Jesus.
But he left all that. Uh-huh. He was like, oh, not enough.
I need the approval of this person.
Gotta have it, Reba. So no quality or quantity time either for his marriage and his kids. You know that phrase quantity of time and quality of time? He didn't do either with his marriage, with his wife, or his kids. That led, in turn, Reba, to broken relationships with his wife and kids. That led to her anger and her depression, which ended up leading to what? Divorce.
Mm.
Now I counsel each of them separately.
Separately.
Mm-hmm. And you're probably thinking, well, were they Christians, Tom? Yes. Yes, they were Christians. But the divorce rate for Christians is fairly high, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it's very similar to non-believers.
Right. So, Reba, what led to all of this in the first place? The way he was raised and the fact that, yes, he did become a Christian before he met his wife. She was, too. But he reverted to his old thinking. Didn't let go of what happened to him when he was little and when he was young and how he was raised. He just couldn't get away from showing his dad. I'm going to show my dad. Guess what, Reba? It failed. It led to divorce.
Mm.
One thing led to another.
And did he get the money that he was looking for?
No. He didn't get the money he was looking for or the job title because his dad really kept holding the carrot just too high for him to ever
And he
reach.
Has a heavenly father that cares more about his soul than about his earthly position.
Exactly.
That probably gave him some little spankings along the way.
Absolutely. And I'm still trying to this day to coach him chiropractic adjustment spiritually to where he should have been in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why in many cases finances lead to broken marriages and relationships. But you know, to this day, this guy still says, Tom, my dad said this to me when I was growing up. Well, guess what? God is saying something totally different. Who do you want to believe?
Mm-hmm. Who are my mother and my brother, but those who do the will of my father.
Exactly, Reba. So this is why finances and money and these kind of pursuits can lead to destruction if we permit it. And this is all based on how he was raised.
Wow. And that's where that gut check that you were talking about earlier comes into play. That's why it's so important to examine the motives of your pursuits, the motives behind all of your assets and why you're pursuing them. It's not bad to have things.
Right.
God can be glorified through these things.
Absolutely. It's not a sin to have things, just what they represent to us. And it led to anger in her, and then she got so mad, she just went into depression.
And a lot of people are identifying with this story right now. I mean, God knows, I've seen friends go through similar things. If you're listening right now and you feel like, wow, you know, I am just really feeling convicted in my heart of some of my motives, well, we've got the prayer of change.
Yes.
You can pray today and things can start to turn around.
Absolutely. Lord, thank you for this day. Help the word of God seep into my heart, Lord, and every listener to change us, to glorify and obey you, Jesus. Give us the strength to follow what you want us to do, Lord. In your name, Jesus, amen. Now, Reba, if people are wondering, how do I apply what you're saying and the book you've written to my personal financial life? How do I get a financial plan based on the Word of God? Give me a call, 800-386-3700. Relationships can be benefited, but I think it's important to seek advice.
Yeah, if you prayed that prayer of change, we would love to hear from you. Drop us a line at theeconomyofgod.com. Also, pick up Tom's new book, Knowing the Economy of God. You can grab that on the website or Amazon.com. Look for it at your local bookseller. Pick up a copy of the newsletter. Email Tom questions at theeconomyofgod.com, and we'll see you later.
Take care.
Been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. Thank you.